WRCT is supported by Row House Cinema. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme ranging from classic, cult, foreign, animation, fantasy, and more. Their concessions feature natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer in the adjoining bottle shop, and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, visit their website at rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3225. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Thank you for spending this Monday evening with The Fridge. If you liked what you were listening to, you can tune back in next Monday at 10 p.m. sharp, only on WRCT Pittsburgh.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming?
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT.
Good afternoon, good evening, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. Welcome to another edition of Ebony Spectrum. This week we'll be looking at the election coming up. We got about less than 11 days coming, and this is from Friday from our girl Vinay.
Long time no see, I feel, but it's a lot of work being done on the ground. It's only got 11 days into the election. But I would be remiss if I didn't get up here and talk about VP Harris' opportunity agenda for black men. And if you haven't heard, here's what it includes. Investing in black-owned small businesses. Legalizing recreational marijuana nationwide, she's on our side. Policing reform, obviously. Addressing health challenges that disproportionately impact black men, like sickle cell disease, mental health, and diabetes. More education training and mentorship programs to combat unfair and unnecessary barriers to black men's success, like degree requirements. An expanded child tax credit, $6,000. And down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, now we're cooking with grease. For a promising presidential hopeful to openly and outwardly claim black men as needing to be a protected class before winning an election is damn near unprecedented. But y'all telling me some of y'all still up here talking about pandering? Let me tell you the difference between pandering and actually showing up. Many of us believe that because black communities are continuously targeted with fluff and memes and rappers, that politicians are virtually incapable of enacting, endorsing, or legislating policy on our behalf in tangible ways. Now, pandering is just saying what you want to hear, or using inauthentic tools to connect on a cultural level, or looping black people in with efforts centered on other marginalized groups of people, claiming we should be cool because it benefits black people too. For decades, the political arena has damn near been terrified to stand up and naming black people, particularly black men, as a demographic that is in need of and deserving of America's help. America literally owes us far more than concepts of a plan, people. And here you have one, plain as day. VP Harris wants to give out $1 million forgivable loans of up to $20,000 to black entrepreneurs, y'all. And in addition to that, she wants to raise the small business startup tax deduction from $5,000 to $50,000 cash. How many of y'all own a small business? Raise your hand. I do. Do you know what I could do with $50,000? Meanwhile, a group of Americans emboldened by Trump-era villainization of affirmative action tried to sue Fearless Fund for giving money to black women-owned businesses, temporarily siphoning off support for a whole sector of black business owners. And look, now them same people mad the admission rates declined at the Ivy Leagues. Not only does she want to legalize weed, and thank God for us down south, goodness gracious, but she's not just trying to undo the harm marijuana convictions have brought on black men and their families, but she also wants to make sure that black men have a seat at the table of the ever-growing cannabis industry. You know, the one that the dude bros over on the West Coast have been running? Well, black men literally sit in jail on overwrought weed charges? You can't tell me you still clinging to that lie that she threw thousands of black men in jail for weed. Not when this has always been her stance. No! Common sense police reform? Great, yes. Because did you know that Congress still has not passed the George Floyd Act? Not because Democrats are liars or don't really want to get anything done, but because 80% of people who vote Democrat do not vote down ballot. So while I'm glad a lot of y'all got out there and voted on the first day of voting, I do hope you at least tick them boxes all the way down so we can help VP Harris and Congress finally ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants. This is why we keep saying we can't divest just yet. Too much stuff that's still on the table. Meanwhile, Donald Trump talking about giving police total immunity? That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day, because that involves exacerbating the already too well-known truth that many people in this country become police officers just so they can have complete authority over people that don't look like them. And because policing in America was birthed in slavery, we know exactly who those people are. Now, let's talk about education. VP Harris wants to provide resources to amplify educational avenues like HBCUs, while under Project 2025, when they go to eliminate the Department of Education, they will be obliterating funding for HBCUs. Are you nuts? And last but not least, I do want to talk about this emphasis on healthcare, or health issues rather, child tax credits, and assistance for first-time homebuyers. Now, these things affect and benefit a lot of people. Some even explicitly say on a website that they're going to benefit others as well. But before you get your panties in a bunch saying, oh, here we go, there it is, see, it's not really about us, Savannah, slow down. This is just a living, breathing example of when black people get free, everybody gets free. The fact of the matter is that black people significantly and disproportionately absorb all of the isms that affect subordinate identity groups. Black, woman, poor, queer, disabled, blackness serves as a catch-all, intersectional meeting place for all forms of oppression, because even if no other minority groups existed, all the ways in which they are discriminated against would fall into the bucket of blackness. That's how it started. Except poor white people. So what this also means is that when that intersection is targeted with actual solution-oriented efforts, our fixes become the fixes for a lot of other people, i.e. poor whites, white women, Latinos. And for the specific black men who are saying because it benefits those people, they don't feel genuine or like it's another political trap, versus the $1,200 check somebody stamped their name on. I don't know, it sounds to me more like you're actually more comforted with being oppressed as long as your ego is being soothed rather than being economically liberated while having to take a scoop of humble pie on the side. Nationwide, she's on our side. Policing reform, obviously. Addressing health challenges that disproportionately impact Black men, like sickle cell disease, mental health, and diabetes. More education, training, and mentorship programs to combat unfair and unnecessary barriers to Black men's success, like degree requirements. An expanded child tax credit, $6,000. And down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, now we're cooking with grease. For a promising presidential hopeful to openly and outwardly claim Black men as needing to be a protected class before winning an election is damn near unprecedented. But y'all telling me some of y'all still up here talking about pandering? Let me tell you the difference between pandering and actually showing up. Many of us believe that because Black communities are continuously targeted with fluff and memes and rappers, that politicians are virtually incapable of enacting, endorsing, or legislating policy on our behalf in tangible ways. Now, pandering is just saying what you want to hear, or using inauthentic tools to connect on a cultural level, or looping Black people in with efforts centered on other marginalized groups of people, claiming we should be cool because it benefits Black people too. For decades, the political arena has damn near been terrified to stand up and naming Black people, particularly Black men, as a demographic that is in need of and deserving of America's help. America literally owes us far more than concepts of a plan, people. And here you have one, plain as day. VP Harris wants to give out 1 million forgivable loans of up to $20,000 to Black entrepreneurs, y'all. And in addition to that, she wants to raise the small business startup tax deduction from $5,000 to $50,000 cash. How many of y'all own a small business? Raise your hand. I do. Do you know what I could do with $50,000? Meanwhile, a group of Americans emboldened by Trump-era villainization of affirmative action tried to sue Fearless Fund for giving money to Black women-owned businesses, temporarily siphoning off support for a whole sector of Black business owners. And look, now the same people mad the admission rates declined at the Ivy Leagues. Not only does she want to legalize weed, and thank God for us down south, goodness gracious, but she's not just trying to undo the harm marijuana convictions have brought on Black men and their families, but she also wants to make sure that Black men have a seat at the table of the ever-growing cannabis industry. You know, the one that the dude bros over on the West Coast have been running? Well, Black men literally sit in jail on overwrought weed charges? You can't tell me you still clinging to that lie that she threw thousands of Black men in jail for weed. Not when this has always been her stance. No! Common sense police reform? Great, yes. Because did you know that Congress still has not passed the George Floyd Act? Not because Democrats are liars or don't really want to get anything done, but because 80% of people who vote Democrat do not vote down ballot. So while I'm glad a lot of y'all got out there and voted on the first day of voting, I do hope you at least tick them boxes all the way down so we can help VP Harris and Congress finally ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants. This is why we keep saying we can't divest just yet. Too much stuff that's still on the table. Meanwhile, Donald Trump talking about giving police total immunity? That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day, because that involves exacerbating the already too well-known truth that many people in this country become police officers just so they can have complete authority over people that don't look like them. And because policing in America was birthed in slavery, we know exactly who those people are. Now, let's talk about education. VP Harris wants to provide resources to amplify educational avenues like HBCUs, while under Project 2025, when they go to eliminate the Department of Education, they will be obliterating funding for HBCUs. Are you nuts? And last but not least, I do want to talk about this emphasis on healthcare, or health issues rather, child tax credits, and assistance for first-time homebuyers. Now, these things affect and benefit a lot of people. Some even explicitly say on a website that they're going to benefit others as well. But before you get your panties in a bunch saying, oh, here we go, there it is, see, it's not really about us, Savannah, slow down. This is just a living, breathing example of when Black people get free, everybody gets free. The fact of the matter is that Black people significantly and disproportionately absorb all of the isms that affect subordinate identity groups. Black, woman, poor, queer, disabled, Blackness serves as a catch-all, intersectional meeting place for all forms of oppression, because even if no other minority groups existed, all the ways in which they are discriminated against would fall into the bucket of Blackness. That's how it started. Except poor white people.
Vinay, Vinay, running some truth down to you. But then it was so nice we had to play it twice for you so you can really understand what she was saying. Next up, we got an excerpt from Karen Hunter from her show from yesterday, which is Tuesday. And also, we are going to hear from our friends at Native Land Podcasting and see what they're thinking about for the election.
Let's go to Cheryl in Queens, who said that she had a cousin that went to the Trump Nazi rally yesterday. Say more, Cheryl. Hello. Cheryl.
Hi, Karen.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Black.
Hey, how you doing?
I just love to listen to you. I really, really do. I love to listen to you too, Karen, but when you have him on, Oh, my God. He makes my mind just.
Listen. Oof. You do know that I feel the same way. You know, and
this,
I'm here as a vehicle. Let me just be very clear. You're never listening to me. You're always listening to the people we bring on. Like,
us
this is
together.
The tip
us together. Us
yeah,
together.
I'm just saying.
Yes, yes, yes. Yesterday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I turned 69, and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I called my cousin because her birthday was the day before. And I called her to, say hi. And I asked her about her cousin, right? But she thought I was talking about her mother, right? And she said, oh, she's not here. She went to the Trump rally. I nearly lost it on the phone.
Mm. What's this person's relationship to you? She's your first cousin, second cousin?
She's my first cousin, yeah. She's a twin, and she's my first cousin. Her twin is Muslim and a beautiful person. Both of them are beautiful people. But I just don't understand.
Like, went willingly, not just to see, but went because that they're aligned with this ideology. And what are they aligned with exactly?
I don't know. I want to have this conversation with her. And we almost got into it a while back, you know, about her whole thing with this Trump thing. She wanted to even move to a red state so she could be in line with that, you know.
She's a black woman?
Yes, and the crazy thing is my aunt, God bless her dead, my aunt is Aunt Baby. She was, like, right there with Malcolm X. Like, my uncle, her husband, Uncle Johnny, was the pallbearer for Malcolm X, sat right next to Betty Shabazz. Like, really? Like, I don't even understand this. I don't even understand this with her.
I'm a little speechless. Listen, Cheryl, I feel you, but I do think there's, like, that Venn diagram, Dr. Black, where there's, like, these ultra, you know, blackity-black people who somehow Trump resonates with.
Mm-hmm.
And they are under the impression that Malcolm X would somehow be on board with either not voting or aligning with Trump. You know how, like, was it Marcus Garvey that was down with he and the Klan had an agreement because they were like, oh, we want the Negroes out too.
Right.
We want to go back to Africa. Okay, right. Well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Let's align because is it some of that? Like, can you make it make sense? And Cheryl, happy birthday to you and thank you for calling.
I think, yes, I can make some of this make sense because there are two levels of this. One of the things that has happened in America to all Americans, including us as Black Americans, is once you go through the school system in America, America sets a person up to say, if you have some value, if you have some human worth, if you do, it will be expressed. It will be known by the measures of power you are able to wield. If you have some value, you're supposed to have some power. And that power is supposed to be demonstrated. It's supposed to be illustrated in some public way. So people dream, they're planting in our heads this dream of power and the ability to wield power. This is why people all over America, I don't care if they're Democrats, Republicans, what people do agree to is they want America to be the greatest power on the planet. See, that right there sets people up. People got to be very careful. It sets people up to participate to one degree or another in constructs of power that absolutely violently oppress other people. Because we're willing to do the oppression, most people, if it will result in our own elevation in terms of power. Because power is the means and the measure of achievement in America. This is why people think of King, they think of Malcolm X, because these were human beings, these were men with power. They had influence in the community. And we think power is the means by which we really live an abundant life. And because of that, most people want one piece or another of it. And this is the second part. This is the problem. People are trying to figure out, how much power can I have and how much oppression am I willing to do in order to maintain it if I don't have to see it?
Yeah. As long as I just get, I turn on my faucet, I get water. I don't really care how
I don't care where the water came from. I don't care if, I don't care who filtered it. It doesn't make me any difference whatsoever. What I want is the ability to turn on faucet and get water. And then I boast that we have running water in America. See, I don't care where it came from. I never even know. But what I do is start comparing this to other countries. Ah, ha, ha. See, the way I know America is greater is because some of these other countries, y'all don't have running water. Uh-huh. But they have running integrity.
Ooh. I would venture to say, and I don't know if people would be honest with themselves, that they probably couldn't define integrity today. And they definitely aren't exhibiting it. Not behind closed doors.
All right, we're doing consumption instead of character.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
I love you and I can't stand you at the same time.
Native Land Pod is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with Reason Choice Media.
Welcome home, y'all. This is another edition of Native Land Pod, but it's a mini pod. And today we are doing election projections, despite the fact that, sadly, DraftKings hasn't been smart enough to sponsor our show. Nevertheless, we are betting women and men today. So we're going to place our wagers on who we think is going to win the election and why. What do we do if Donald Trump wins? So that's the podcast. What are we doing? Who's kicking us off?
I just want to say I 100% do not believe Donald Trump will win. But I want to say I feel that way not based on any scientific reasons. I feel that way based on the sheer will of Black women. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, as Latasha Brown says. And my mind can't compute anything else. I think the media has intentionality around creating these narratives around the race is so tight. Y'all know how I feel about polls, people introducing polls. Like, it's 15 polls a day saying 15 different things, and it's meant to agitate. It's meant to keep us on the edge. When if we all just focused on, I'm going to vote on election day, I'm going to do early voting, I'm going to get other people to the polls, that's our only Black job right now. So that's what I'm focused on. I do not think we will see another Donald Trump presidency. That is my declaration. It's beyond my hope. It is my declaration. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Andrew Gillum.
How you? Angela, you've been talking about your angst, Angela, so I want to hear
why. I want to hear Andrew first.
Go right ahead. I'm still absorbing.
Okay, so I have a lot of angst, but I think most of this has to do with my control issues. I do not like for things to be close. Close games give me anxiety. And overtime, sports experts, you know all about that.
I know that feeling, girl. I don't like it either.
That gives me anxiety. And so I like for things to be like, it's a clean break. We like know exactly where things stand. And unfortunately, for us right now, that is not where things stand. I think even traditional pollsters are being a lot more conservative in their approach based on what happened in 2016, frankly, with Hillary Clinton. And while she did win the popular vote, as we talk about all the time on this show, by 3 million votes, she did not win the Electoral College. So, you know, when I think about the states in play, Michigan, I'm worried about the uncommitted vote. And given the size of the electorate, the number of votes that Hillary Clinton lost Michigan by in 2016, I'm really worried that the uncommitted haven't been properly addressed around the Israeli-Gaza Palestinian conflict. I have some concerns about Arizona. I have concerns about Pennsylvania. For a number of different reasons, working class voters who are Black, brown, and white. I have concerns about the Black male vote in particular in Pennsylvania and it being kind of the tie breaking the just enough to get over the hump. I have concerns about, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona,
Wisconsin.
I feel a little bit better about. Wisconsin, I'm also worried about, and not just for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, but also for Tammy Baldwin. You know, so I mean, I do have some concerns numerically. And at this point of the election season, y'all, it really is just about who can turn out the votes. So yeah. I think that there have been a lot of time, including for me, focused on undecided voters. I'm not off that yet, but I do know the people that are clear-eyed about who they want to vote for, please go to the polls. Go early in case something happens on election day. We have a good friend of ours, Erin, who was talking about, you know, she wanted that moment on election day. We're like, girl, if you don't, girl, early. It's that same kind of thing. We just want to make sure that there are no mishaps, no mistakes, no threats, no intimidation, none of that going on. And I think my biggest concern, honestly, y'all, is not just about the victory. I do believe that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have what it takes to get us across the finish line. But I'm deeply concerned about what happens when people embody the threat that they think they are. What kind of violence ensues from the other side? What ways in which they might intimidate voters? The way that they've been gearing up for that now for well over a year. The things that they've put in place in states to challenge the vote. All of those things come into play. And so one of the biggest concerns I have is the fact that I fully believe this election won't be decided on election night. I think it's going to be a battle, and it's not going to just be a slog with the folks who count the ballots in the states. It's also going to be a slog when it comes time for January 6, 2025, whether or not folks will agree to certify election results, which when they've been pointedly asked, they've not been able to answer the question. So I got angst that I think I'm carrying for about, you know, 2 months worth of eggs, November, December, and January. That's legitimate, though.
Well, can I just say, when I say I'm confident about the will of the people. Now, when we come to, I agree with you, we won't know the election results that night. The fake electors are a concern. Yeah. I think combined right now, election deniers and the 2020 fake electors right now represent 37%. Of the total 82 members of the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. That is a legitimate concern. I mean, legally, will they vote against the will of the people? So that definitely gives me angst. I should be clear about that. I think she will win the popular vote. I think she will win the swing states. Will people accept the election results they don't like? But a lot of people are concerned that she doesn't have it in the bag yet. And I think that's a good place to be. So I, all y'all who feel that way, you're not alone. But I just feel, I don't know. I just feel like the ancestors pushing me at the back, like, no, girl, it's time. It's time.
I think, and I appreciate y'all sharing your thoughts on that because they're influencing me some, but I am checking in with my gut and sometimes my head and my gut betray one another.
Yes, indeed.
I had a gut feeling the morning I woke up in November of 2018 when I was on the ballot for governor in Florida. I had a gut feeling. That didn't match my head and everything going into it. In 2016, I was in New York, you know, at the
Javits Center.
And at that time, the idea of a Trump presidency had not even entered into my thinking.
Ever.
It was nowhere near it. I was so thrown off balance. I mean, it was just, I'm sure a lot of us were, but my gut didn't say, didn't warn me, and my head sure as hell didn't suggest anything different. We're 2 weeks out from the election, and I will just quickly say where my concern lies. My concerns lie right now with white women and how they will perform. If they are going to do 53% for Trump, then I think we lose given the gender gap that exists right now. We need them desperately to check in with their conscience. We need them desperately to put themselves first, not their sons, not their husbands, not their fathers, but themselves. I worry about an enthusiasm gap on the left. If all of us truly know what the consequences are, if the sky is falling every election, then why is the sky falling this time? And why is it falling going to be different for me? Good, bad, or in between. So I think there's an enthusiasm issue that has to be closed. And I don't think it's been closed yet. And then my third big fear is the Senate and the House. There's a reason Donald Trump did rallies in New York City. There are three very important, pivotal congressional races that he feels his presence, if it could boost enough
Republican enthusiasm in those areas. Could they hold those seats in Florida? Ron DeSantis went against the legislature, but he had the courts and he drew his own maps, got rid of two black seats, black access seats, and they were replaced with a total of three white access seats. And all three of those seats went Republican, from Democrat to Republican. And that is how Speaker Johnson is Speaker Johnson. I worry about the House, and I fear that the Senate is already likely lost.
Mm.
And in that circumstance, a Trump win would be absolutely detrimental to everything we believe and we stand for. The good thing about these three concerns, if there was, is that there's still time to affect them. There's still time for white women to decide for themselves how it is they're going to affect the turnout of this election. Whether they want to stay clamped to the past or define their own future, I still think there's time on these House seats for the enthusiasm to build that we need and folks to show up and show out and vote for their candidates of choice. And the enthusiasms can still be addressed. If right now you are busy worrying about what the polls are saying and not doing anything to move people to the polls, to change those, polls are predictive, they say. It gives you, they're snapshots in time, but in some ways those trend lines tell us where things may be headed. And if you're watching that and we about to crash into a damn brick wall, then I would do what I could to avert the brick wall. And I think these warnings should wake all of us up. This race is far too close in too many key places, mm-hmm. far too close. And y'all, I can't even get to the after, because I think the after is bound to be chaos. I think in some ways, Donald Trump is running for the presidency for his freedom, but I also think he's running for chaos to undermine whatever the outcome is, so that there is a divide in this country and that divide continues by helping to keep him out of jail, creating negotiating room for some kind of a collapse. If the opposition is strong enough, some kind of a deal to be made on his criminal piece here. And I know I may sound conspiracy theorists here, but I think Donald Trump all along has been running for his freedom.
I do, too. Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end and the beginning of the day, if there is a divide in this country, he can marshal that divide towards some kind of negotiated outcome for himself.
OK,
all of that's bad for the country. But I do think that those are the things that sort of.
Can we
also, if he loses, Andrew, the Republican Party will abandon him at that point. It's like, oh, great. All right. Well, not Trumpism, but Donald Trump, because at that point they can say, OK, the problem with Trump is done. Like, we got 4 years of Vice President Harris. There's no need for us. Like, he doesn't have the vice grip on them that he does right now.
If the people are still with him, he will still be the titular leader of the party.
That's why you might have.
And they will bow to him. Just because they had a chance to get rid of him. He could have been old news before, except that the party he built is loyal to him. This is all, again, in the regiment of fascism.
You don't think it's fear of him becoming president again, though?
He may never become president, but he may pick the next one.
OK, let me ask you guys this.
Good point.
Can we do like a quick round of like who thinks the Republicans are going to win the House? Who thinks or the Democrats? Who thinks Republicans, Democrats, Senate? Who thinks Republicans, Democrats, presidency? Can we do that quick round?
Yeah, let's do
sure.
it. Let's
go,
do
Andrew.
It.
You win last. House.
House, Democrat.
Okay.
Senate, Republican. White House, Democrat.
Okay. Tiff, what you got?
Same as Andrew.
Okay. I am going to go out on a limb and say that I think the Senate is going to surprise us. And somehow they eke out a victory, and it's going to be Dem House, Dem Senate, Kamala Harris presidency, not on election night, maybe a week later.
That is positive for you, because for a long time you were like, I don't know, guys. This is like positive.
I don't know still, but this is what I need to bet this for my nerves. I'm going to even say I just am being different from y'all on the Senate piece. I think the Senate is the toughest race the toughest races that the Democrats have is the Senate. I think that they've made some miscalculations. In particular, I'm thinking about the Black woman that's running in Indiana. Like, why would you don't not be competitive in states that you have not traditionally been competitive? Kentucky has a Democratic governor. Like, why? Like, like, there are places where traditionally they would say we can't win, and they could have won if they would have just invested some resources.
Well, but even outside of like Black folks in the Senate, because I think, and I do want to correct, I did see all you guys' comments because I was saying, well, there are no Black women in the Senate. And everybody's like, what about LaFonza Butler? I did. I remember saying that when we were talking about the Black women running, and I was like, they would be the right now. There are no Black women in the Senate. So forgive me.
I thought you meant there wouldn't be if they didn't win, which would be true.
That is what I was trying to say, but I would have absolutely acknowledged LaFonza Butler.
We love her. We've interviewed her.
Yes. I would have acknowledged her in that moment. So my apologies. But I think even outside of Black women running, there's just some Senate seats out there that are like John Tester in Montana. I don't know what's going to happen there. I think Colin Allred might be able to pull it off.
I think he might, too.
Like, nobody likes Ted Cruz. Like, why do y'all keep sending Ted Cruz to us? He's y'all's problem. Keep him at home. I cannot see. Yes, it's very strange. And Vice President Harris is there this week in Texas. And I think that will we were talking in our group chat that Texas is not in play for her. But in that Senate race, we keep getting promised Texas is going to be a purple state. This might be the election cycle.
Do we think that Colin Allred could win that seat, but she couldn't win?
Because it's more of a local issue there. I think Colin Allred he's focused on Texas. She's focused on the country. So there are some policy points that she takes that I think might run contrary to the interests of the people in Texas, where Colin Allred may have.
I think he's got everything to do with Ted Cruz.
his opponent.
And Ted Cruz is just genuinely unlikable.
They're saying even by everybody. In Maryland, Kamala Harris has a 10-point advantage over Angela Alsobrooks, which is also fascinating. I'm always interested when people split
tickets. I think she's going to win.
Splitting tickets, and largely what happens in these split tickets is the fall off.
Yeah,
is the voter fall off, not so much Trump and the Democrat or the Democrat and a Republican, but the fall off that takes place. And I'll just qualify. I said Mexico because that's his preferred vacation spot.
Yes.
Everybody is sort of tongue in cheek.
I found interesting about that. Well, that's my point with these Republicans. It's so much scandal, you literally can't keep up. But during that whole debacle when he was going to Mexico, this is how you know don't ever come to us talking about our community, okay? Because we ride. Her, she was in a group chat. Y'all remember that? Ted Cruz's wife was in a group chat who leaked her ass. They leaked the text messages the friend group.
Y'all want to go to Mexico? We got a house. We're going to get out of this storm. We'll have electricity. Everybody bring the kids.
Listen,
it'll be great.
Our group chat none of our group chats would never ever. You couldn't convince me if somebody came and said, no, but we got this. I'm like, then somebody hacked into somebody's phone. We would never ever. It wouldn't occur. Even if we were mad at each other. Like, we just don't move like that. And I'm like, because y'all ain't got no community.
For the people that y'all do make stuff out of group chats, they get summarily dismissed.
Well, that's a mini pod.
No, it's not a mini pod. It's just this mini moment.
And we've reached the conclusion.
I approve
this
message. And that is a great conclusion. Let the church say, Amen.
So we all agree that Vice President Harris is going to win.
Yes.
And by the way, mine is an admonishment.
That's how I feel, Andrew.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask Andrew before we go? Because you said something. I just want to ask a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
You said that your gut in 2018 and your head were different. Do you feel comfortable sharing what your head told you and what your gut said?
My head told me we were going to win, and my gut that morning was unlike anything I had felt all the way up through the campaign. When I went to vote, I thought, you know what?
I knew it too.
There's a reason there's never been one before.
To start a podcast with Riverside, all you need is a concept and a way to record it. Here's how.
I got to be honest. When you were talking the whole time, your tone made me very uncomfortable. I felt like Davis or Jackson about to get in trouble.
Well,
you were so serious. The whole time he was telling his thoughts on the election.
Well, let me just say, that's why it's an admonishment.
But it's only true
if we do what we have to do.
And even if you think about what happened, I will tell you, Tiff, and we've talked about it a little bit on the show before with Andrew's race. Like, Andrew ain't the only one that needed therapy after that race. Like, you couldn't have told me Andrew was not going to win. You could feel it. You could feel it. And that's why I'm saying, like, there is something really important. Like, even if you went over hearts and minds, if those hearts and minds don't take their asses to the polls,
come on,
it matters not. And I do believe there were votes that were not counted. I know I sound like an election denier.
No.
But Florida is a different beast, and they will play a mean, evil, tricky game. And so what you have to do is outperform the evil, right? You got to outperform the evil. You got to show up in numbers they can't trick it or trade it or do whatever they do. You have to make sure that there is no room for a hanging Chad. And that's why I'm saying, like, you can feel the tide is changing. You can feel people are ripe and ready. But if ripe and ready don't move,
you got to move.
Yeah. You know? So I'm with on that.
We going to be in Florida. We looking forward. We coming to Florida.
And to Angela's point, Florida by, you know, 49 others. Yeah,
Pennsylvania, and Arizona, Michigan.
Come on.
And all the places where they're messing stuff up. Like, we didn't even talk about it today, but the Muslim Democrat that got kicked out the rally.
Yeah.
That cannot happen.
That's a fumble. That's a fumble.
That's a huge fumble. Why? I hope Kamala cussed somebody out about it. Like, what are y'all doing?
Cuss them out in public.
Help us
in
help
public.
You.
That's
like,
a great idea, Andrew. Like, you cannot do that.
Well, before we go, I just want to remind the folks that we are coming to see you, FAMU. I asked before we began, I've been asking this question to everybody. I'm curious, our viewers, but I just want to know who y'all think is the more obnoxious crew, FAMU or HU. I feel like FAMU and Howard people are anywhere in the world. They just rah, 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 we ready. So I'm going to see up close and personal that FAMU spirit.
There it is.
I'm an honorary.
The
they always this when they see each other.
That's it.
That's what y'all do, right?
Don't get bit.
And then they were mad because Andrew, they were like, "Hi, Andrew ain't got no FAMU stuff in his background." FAMU people go hard. So
Andrew,
we're looking forward.
I'm coming up.
It just don't capture.
Well,
the
you
whole
better move it over
y'all.
So they can see it.
There are levels. First of all, I'm here. I'm the
you FAMU.
Well, we're a T-shirt
through and through, through and through.
What should we wear to home? Because we'll be there.
Orange and green. We're wearing denim.
I'll have orange and green.
You're going to wear orange and green with denim. And Tiff, this was your idea. You're going to be in denim in one of these
spots. I'm going to wear orange. What? In the cooler weather, I do have some denim. But I think we're going to see. Orange and green and denim is what we're wearing.
That's it. Come through.
All right. FAMU
Wednesday. Welcome home, everybody, and happy homecoming.
Thanks, y'all.
October 31st, whatever that day is. October 31st.
That is a Thursday.
It is also Halloween. Bring your costume.
Tiff is dressing up as a rattler.
Yes.
Tiff is dressing like a voter.
Oh, great.
A voting rattler.
Voting rattler.
A denim wearing voting rattler.
Voting rattler.
Y'all, this reminds me of that, you know, when family leaves and you walking down the street. Goodbye.
Yeah. Right. Still saying bye.
Well, all right. Well, okay.
It's 9 days. Well, all right. And he's still talking to y'all.
All right.
Okay. Get home safe.
Well, all right.
Did you take a plane?
Call me. Love
call
you.
Me
did you take grandma to
tell your mama?
Oh,
I
you knocked that dessert.
What about Cousin Pete?
Come get your mama.
Goodbye. Good night.
Bring some water with you. Might be in line a long time. Put your seatbelt on.
Look, they be there. Pack the kitchen.
Lock your door. You know it ain't safe in these streets.
Lock the door. You know, them street lights coming on.
You know that. You know that Joe down the street got a Trump van sign up, don't you?
We have stopped recording. Is that right?
They should leave all that in there.
Well, folks, I'm running up against it, so I'm going to have to cut this short, and we'll be continuing this on Sunday morning around 5 o'clock where I'll add maybe a couple more segments to this. But thanks for listening today. I'm going to have some music for you to take us up to the top of the hour. Peace to you all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Norm with your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. While coronavirus infections could go down over the next few months, we're still headed into flu season. Millions of Americans will be affected by the flu. But the good news is that we do have a safe and effective vaccine. But sadly, too many people go unvaccinated, especially African Americans. For more about flu vaccine, talk to your doctor or visit aawellnessproject.org.
listening to An Experiment with Time on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM over the airwaves in the city of Pittsburgh, streaming online to the world up on WRCT.org. WRCT is supported by Spack Brothers Pizza, located at 5107 Penn Avenue in Bloomfield. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings, and salads while specializing vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Spack Brothers offers both takeout and delivery. For more information, email them at spackhelp@gmail.com or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. And if you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Well, Happy New Year, folks. First experiment of the new year. 2025 is going to be interesting. Going to kick off tonight's show with some old school Indonesian pop music. A little excerpt from The Fugs, that's F-U-G-S, Exercising the Demons at the Pentagon, October 21st, 1967. Some Swedish Psych, and a whole lot more coming up. Thanks for tuning in. This is An Experiment with Time.
Peace out. Cosmos to protect our ceremonies in the name of Zeus, in the name of Anubis, god of the dead, in the name of all those killed for causes they do not comprehend, in the name of the lives of the dead soldiers in Vietnam who were killed because of a bad karma, in the name of seaborn Aphrodite, in the name of the Magna Mater Deo Medea, in the name of Dionysius, Zagreus, Jesus, Iao, Sabaoth, Yahweh, the unnameable, the quintessent finality, the Zoroastrian fire, in the name of Hermes, in the name of the beak of Thoth, in the name of the scarab, in the name of the Tyrone Power Pound Cake Society in the sky, in the name of Ra, Osiris, Horus, Nephthys, Isis, Harpocrates, Eros, Thoth, in the name of the flowing living universe, in the name of the mouth of the robbers, we call upon the spirit to raise the Pentagon from its destiny and preserve it.
In the names and all the names, it is you.
Out, demon, out.
Out, demon.
Demon, out.
Demon, out. Demon, out.
Demon, out.
Demon, out.
Out, demon, out. Out, demon, out. Out, demons 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 out.
Out,
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 out, out, demons out. Out, demons out. Out, demons out. Out, demons out. For the first time in the history of the Pentagon, there will be a grope in within 100 feet of this place, within 200 feet.
Of purity!
Seminal culmination in the spirit of peace and brotherhood. A real grope for peace. All of you who want to protect this rite of love may form a circle of protection around the lovers.
This circle of protection!
His jewels upon his back will not raise his head above the glass. Unlike the tiny sparrow, wild and free, gathering small pieces to build his nest, for he has nothing, yet he can fly anywhere beneath God's sky. Shepherds, dear gentle lambs, caring nothing for his own soul. And rarely the dragonfly does grace the dawn, dancing among the flowers of spring. His rainbow hues he has hidden from view, though unto God he spreads his wings.
Heroes, Bird Janch, Bird Song, from his 1971 record, Rosemary Lane. If you got a chance, check out the documentary Acoustic Roots. It's currently available to watch for free up on YouTube. Follows Bird Janch and the whole English folk revival scene that he was a part of. Just really great vibes. That, along with We Jam Econo, the Minutemen documentary, are films that I go back to when I need a spiritual realignment. Right now, millions of kids up to age 19 are eligible for free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP. Your child could be one of them. In fact, children in a family earning of four earning up to $80,000 a year may qualify. Income levels vary by state. Regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more are covered. For more information or to enroll today, go to insurekidsnow.gov. That's insurekidsnow.gov. Families affected by disasters urgently need your support. You can help the American Red Cross provide help and hope to those when they need it most. Please donate today. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by disasters, big and small. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you. Let's get back to the music here. This is Brent Cordero and Peter Kerlin off of their 2023 release, A Sublime Madness. This is the closing track, Peric.
are two. Birds, frogs, the kingdom of spiders, all prophecy, all allegory. The skyscrapers are on fire. I stay tuned in, but the radio only plays a voice in the distance that is all but shrouded in static. The voice asks for help or advises on where to go for safety. But I can't understand a word, nor where they are in time and space. I look around to assess the risk, but the silence is frightening, and the room reflects nothing but the kind of nothing that happens before fingers from many hands press through the wooden slats, covering the windows, alerting you there is no escape. The threat is all around you. Sincerely yours. Distortion, travel, cracked screens scrambling the information. The red and blue flashes of color are happening both outside the window and behind my eyelids inside a dark room. Cacophony swirls in the brightest of hues as animated characters dance in a loop on the borders of consciousness. In four fractions and fractured frames sweep by as life in collage storms fights for the foreground like extras once did in the DMX videos of days gone by. The negative space of spoken words weighs heavier than anything that was said. All meanings have been inverted and regularly converted to different formats, so we are outdated more often than up to date. I am late, yet time has lost all meaning. Peace. Tomorrow I will wake up in a panic. The architecture is never neutral. Intentions make the walls conform. The networks create connections and monetize reactions. How do you feel about what you have just seen or heard? How about now? Is there care or is there none? The difference is indistinguishable in the analysis. Content is contentment or contestation. Image is the same. You reflected many times like litter. Meaninglessness. It's not concrete. It is ephemeral. At the same time, trackable and traceable. The documentation is shared and predictions made. Chaos is the state. It is the energy for the frameworks, art, music, communication, and community.